Most of these tips kind of have to do more with garbage weather.
Yes, because honestly, like, there's nothing that really, like, impedes your progress in muzzle loading like garbage weather.
Yeah.
Listening to the Muzzleloaders Podcast, the show where we talk about anything and everything black powder.
All right, how's it going, everybody? My name is Darren. I'm with Muzzleloaders.com Podcast, and I'm here with Nate Savage, our general manager. And today we are going to be bringing you a whole bunch of untold tips and tricks, just stuff that's maybe a little outside the realm of the mainstream that, you know, we've had to learn the hard way in the school of hard knocks. And we're going to hopefully pass on some of that knowledge to you before you have to learn it the hard way. The idea is that we're kind of exploring some stranger stuff here, things that you're like maybe haven't heard of, maybe you have. If you're really experienced, you're probably like, yeah, I learned all that the hard way. You know, if you're
been
new
there.
Yeah. And then if you're lower on that spectrum, maybe you've only hunted for a few years, maybe we can help solve some problems before they ever become problems for you. So. Some of these are lessons that Nate and I have learned together. Some of them are ones that he's taught me. And so let's go ahead and just start going through there. The first one is one that Nate taught me this year. And I'm reasonably experienced muzzleloader, hunter, and shooter, and all the above. And this is something that I learned this season. So let's go ahead and talk about percussion caps and making sure they're on tight.
Sure, yeah. I'm actually going to bring this one full circle later, too, on another one that we have. That they kind of go hand in hand, but we just want to stick to this one for now. You know, when I first started hunting with a muzzleloader, old Thompson Center 54 caliber side lock, number 11 percussion cap, I made a lot of mistakes my first year out. Mm-hmm. One of those was not pushing the percussion cap on hard enough, and it would actually hit and kind of seat the percussion cap at the same time, but it wouldn't go off. But mm-hmm. then you pull it back again and hammer it, and it goes off.
Yep.
Those could be inconsistencies in nipples as well. You know, so having a really good quality nipple definitely makes a difference. One that fits the cap a little better and will seat all the way on.
There are definitely differences in, like, nipple diameter.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, considering, like, from brand to brand, mm-hmm. too. So just for keep sure. that in mind.
Yep, and I like mine to fit to where it almost goes all the way to the bottom, but then you kind of have to really give it a really hard push on there, and it seats the rest of the way, and it'll almost be somewhat water resistant, mm-hmm. You know, because I used to cover my breech with my hand a lot, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
but yep. But you don't have to do that if you can get that cap on really, really tightly.
Mm-hmm.
It'll usually hold the water back all day.
Yep.
And then obviously I'd recommend changing it that night.
But. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I think especially for hunting, if the conditions are good, you know, you can sometimes get away with reusing caps.
Oh, sure.
That we hunted some suboptimal conditions this season. Yeah. So
I think most of these tips kind of have to do more with garbage weather.
Yes, because honestly, like, there's nothing that really, like, impedes your progress in muzzle loading like garbage weather.
Yeah,
you know, because if it's really crappy weather, you can still shoot a bow just fine. You can still shoot a rifle just fine. But if it's crappy weather, you're gonna have a hard time with the muzzle loader. So just finding ways to mitigate that as much as possible. I also, one of the things that I've always made the mistake of doing, largely because I've in general been able to hunt in times that are pretty nice weather, you know, but with like the inline muzzle loaders, you have a musket, like a musket nipple. And normally you just kind of slide it on there and close the breech because you're not worried about it falling off. You're not worried about it beating super tight. But Nate was telling me that if you do that, it'll still go off just fine, but you aren't having the benefit of creating a good seal. Mm-hmm. So what happened to me is it was super wet and rainy, and I just loosely slid my cap on there. And
musket cap.
Yeah, musket mm-hmm. cap, and water had infiltrated underneath the cap through the flash hole and had got, like, right there on the end of the flash hole where the powder was sitting. Mm-hmm. It had gotten almost like a paste, like very gooey.
Well, the way those work moisture. Too is it's a like a thin line of paper with a combustive powder underneath mm-hmm. it. So if that paper gets wet at all, then the powder underneath it gets wet and it's ruined.
Yeah, and like
so it doesn't even have to get down into your nipple into the powder, which
exactly.
you can, But if it touches that paper at all, it's toast.
Yep.
And that's percussion cap's toast.
That's what happened to Chance when we were talking on the podcast, mm-hmm. which I guess would be last month's podcast as you guys are listening to it right now. And so is his nipple didn't, or his percussion cap didn't even go yeah. off.
Your percussion cap went off.
My percussion cap went off, but water had infiltrated through the flash hole and gotten the powder super like moist.
Well, so I actually think that was the second one. It kind of segues right into the second one. I think that's
that could be
yours.
That could there could be a lot of things going on with mine. Because
your cap went off. So if it had gone around it and down in,
well, I don't know if my cap went off or not because you shot at the same time. Yeah. You know, so it's tough. It's tough to say. All things were all sorts of messed up.
Well, your
on
second
that.
Cap went off.
The second cap went off and the powder did not. Really did yes, because the powder was toast. And so, yeah, so that one kind of leads us into our next one, which is holding your hand over the breech end of the muzzle or of the muzzle loader. Mm-hmm. And this is another one that I learned this year because, you know, if the weather's bad and sometimes you do have to pick like the lesser of two evils. You know, obviously, if it's dry, you don't want to touch that end at all. There's no reason to. Mm-hmm. If it's wet, you do want to try and protect it some, but you also want to make sure that, you know, you're not grabbing on because, as Nate will explain in a few minutes, the warmth from your hand can cause moisture to accumulate inside of your mm-hmm. barrel, right? Is that,
yeah,
is that
yeah, how it works? It's just basic science. I mean, you get a cold piece of material, whether it's glass or metal or whatever, and then you apply heat to the outside of it, and it'll start to condensate on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so if you're grabbing your breech with your bare hand like that, and you're heating it up from the outside, but the, you know, let's say you're hunting in the winter. Mm. This is usually when this is most common. That whole barrel is super, super cold. And that cold is trying to come up through the metal the whole time while you're trying to apply heat to the top by covering your breech plug with your hand. And that's causing the inside of the barrel to start sweating. Mm-hmm. And that'll cause condensation all on the inside of that powder. And that powder just becomes goop.
Yep. Not usable. Not effective.
Won't fire.
And so you do have like a middle ground where like you sometimes like want to just hold your hand over the top of it, you know, to try and keep the moisture off without grabbing onto it. Or if you're going to go like the armpit method, I like to call it.
The armpit method is another one I did want to talk about a little bit too, because that was the one I probably did the most mm-hmm. is I would put it under my armpit like this.
Yep.
And if I didn't have a lot of insulating layers on to keep the heat from my body in and also not heating the barrel.
Yep.
I had the same exact problem. That mm-hmm. powder was just goop
yeah.
from the condensation.
Yeah. And so you want to make sure if you're doing one of those, you either have a lot of layers on or you're loosely guarding that area to the point where you're kind of keeping it shielded from incoming rain or snow. Yeah,
but it's not really touching your body.
Yes, but yeah. keeping it away from your body enough to where you're not heating up that barrel. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of you guys that that hunt it with like 209 primers, you're probably a lot less concerned yeah. about a lot of the things we're talking about here.
Much less likely to have an issue.
Yes, much less likely, but it is still possible.
It can still happen, yeah.
Yep. It is much less likely, though. I've had a lot fewer inconsistencies when it comes to using 209 primers versus
well,
muscle caps.
They typically glue those, too. There's a layer of glue on the end of a 209 mm-hmm. primer, which makes it fairly water-resistant.
Yep.
It'd be a fun video to do. It'd be just to drop a bunch of 209 primers in a glass of water and then do time intervals like 5 minute, 10 minute, 15, 20, 30, whatever, and start pulling them out and shooting them and see at what point they don't go off anymore.
Yeah. Be interesting. That'd be an interesting video.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a video we'll make. We were just having a brainstorm session here like yesterday. So
could be fun.
Could be fun. A good one. The other one is, we want to talk about, using like barrel covers. So like, we have one right here. They're on our website. You can find them pretty much everywhere. It's just like a little, it's like a finger of a latex glove, and you can use those to cover, at least the traditional way that you use them is to cover the barrel end, right? Mm-hmm. And we just
found out a new nifty trick this year.
We did, because necessity breeds invention.
That's
and
right.
So we did find out they do work with muzzle brakes. So if you're one of the people like us that like to use mm-hmm. muzzle brakes with your muzzle loader, they will slide over a muzzle brake, a three baffle at least.
Yep, at least a three.
Yeah, so that's what we try. It's pretty standard.
Yep.
The other thing you can do is you can slide a barrel cover over the breech end. So like mm-hmm. if you have a basically have your your inline muzzleloader. It's like, say it's a break action or whatever. Yeah, this wouldn't work with like a plunger.
Yeah.
But break action is kind of the standard these days.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have a break action. You have your breech plug. You take one of these barrel covers after you've already put on your musky cap or your 209 primer, whatever it is, and you can then slide and like... trying to think about how to describe this.
Yeah.
You can just basically
like... listening
audience? Yeah, you basically... imagine you're putting the barrel cover over the muzzle end, but you're just doing it on the breech end after you've already put the... Yeah. Yes, after you've already put the
percussion cap
in there. Yeah, mine's not working. And so what that does is it helps protect... helps keep water out of that end of your barrel. And... with, you know, even with having that little bit of rubber in there, that's not going to have any effect on your firing pin hitting and setting off your percussion cap or your primer. And so it just kind of is the best of both worlds, keeps all the moisture out and allows for, there's no mechanical interference that we've seen, at least. We still have probably some more testing to do, but as far as what we've tested, it's worked just fine. So
yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, controversy on whether having your muzzle breaker, your muzzle covered with a latex barrel cover affects your accuracy at all. Well, there's actually a couple videos online that disprove that already. So guys shooting, obviously this is in a center fire, but it's, you know, if it works on a center fire, it's definitely going to work on a muzzle loader because they're much less affected by those kind of things. Center fires are much more finicky on that kind of stuff rather than muzzle loaders. And they go out and shoot 1,000 yards with tape. They use tape. They don't use a latex barrel cover, but
yeah.
I mean, same concept.
Same thing, yeah.
Yep. And they shoot 1,000 yards. Doesn't change their point of impact. Accuracy is fine.
So. Nice. That's great.
So yeah, we sell these latex barrel covers on our website. They're part number MZ1009. They're fantastic. They're ridiculously cheap. They come in a 20-pack. I mean...
That'll last you for forever.
You can't even buy a roll of electrical tape for as cheap as these things are. So
seriously. Yeah. What's up with the price of electrical tape?
I don't know, man. I remember being a kid, we'd go down to the store, we'd buy that stuff. Cause you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have phones and fancy stuff. We played with sticks, like real children, and
made your own toy.
Not
guns.
All these electronic devices rot in your brain. And yeah, we'd go down and buy like 4 rolls for $1 and we'd take sticks and tape them and pretend they were swords and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, electrical tape's like magic.
Yeah, yeah, it's great stuff. Use it for all kinds of stuff, not just electrical purposes.
No, not at all. So the other one we have here is basically finding ways to keep your powder dry and not just your powder in your muzzle or in your that's already loaded. We've already talked about that, but
your quick loads.
Yeah, your reloads. Yep. So, if you're like me and you just don't bring enough reloads because, you know, things go south sometimes, check out the podcast that went up last month.
To be fair, wasn't all your fault.
Or you'd be like Nate, who doesn't bring any reloads.
Nope. One shot. It's all it takes.
Yep. Fortunately, we were shooting the same muzzleloader, the same charge. Yeah. Anyways, that's a story for another time.
Different podcast.
So basically finding ways to keep that powder waterproof. Because like if you... carried in like a powder flask. Powder flasks are pretty good, but they're still metal. They're still subject to like, you know, the heat change, condensation, all that kind of stuff. We've had really good luck with like powder tubes, like charge tubes work really well.
Great. And those are fairly waterproof after you put the cap on.
Yes. And also the, what are they called? The,
Cedar Mountain.
I kept wanting to say Stone Mountain. I was like, that's not
Cedar
right.
Mountain.
Cedar Mountain.
Those are incredible.
Yes, so those are amazing. No matter what you're like, if you're using a muzzle brake or not, if you are using a muzzle brake, I would say they're borderline necessity because they eliminate the need for having a funnel. And even if you aren't using a muzzle brake, it's just so nice because the way it is, it just has like a straw that you slide down the barrel and you just tip your powder up. You already have a preloaded powder tube there. That is sealed with rubber, so that's going to help keep it waterproof. And you have your bullet right there, so you just powder in, bullet in, pack that sucker down.
And I'd say
perfect.
Those are fairly waterproof as well, unless you drop it in a puddle because you're going to get water in the straw. But
it's not advertised as waterproof. However, because of the way it's designed, it is going to be, at very least, very water resistant because ultimately nothing's truly waterproof in black powder.
Sure, unless this next tip...
Yes. Yes.
So I have not personally tried this. I have heard tale of this idea. If you have a vacuum sealer at your house, which a lot of people do these days, and you have some small bags, you know, vacuum sealing your individual quick loads. So let's say you had a powder tube, a bullet, and a percussion cap. You could essentially vacuum seal that into a tiny little bag, put them in your possibles bag or your pocket or whatever, and boom, all you need is a pair of scissors or whatnot to cut it open and pull all your stuff out, and you'll have a nice dry load.
Yep. A little bit tougher to access that way.
For sure.
But guaranteed.
I wouldn't
to
call
be,
it a quick loader.
Yes, definitely not.
But it's going to be waterproof.
Definitely waterproof. So, I mean, if you're going out on like a super nasty day, maybe you have like a couple of like, maybe you have like a Cedar Mountain quick loader that's going to be water resistant. And if for some reason that goes down on you, you do have like, you could have that to fall back on that is like guaranteed waterproof.
Yeah.
And usually those vacuum seal bags are pretty tough. So there's not like, they're not going to open up from abrasion or anything like that. So, that was a really outside the box one that I hadn't heard of until Nate was putting some of these together. So, the next one on our list is the cow's knee for flintlocks. So this one,
absolute must.
Yes.
After last year.
Yes. And this is one that's not very outside the box, but it is one that I feel like kind of gets neglected.
It was just worth mentioning.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to spend a ton of time talking about it, but it's, you know, it's a tried and true, been around since muzzle loading was invented, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably before.
Yeah. cows have been around and they have knees, so it's definitely been around.
Yeah. Those are, and obviously those, if you're hunting with a flintlock and it's really, really bad weather, stop. You know, you're just get some help, or let us know in the comments what you do to keep your powder dry if the weather is just miserable, because we have just had lousy luck.
Please comment to any of these. You know, if you're already using it, you got other ideas. Well, we want to hear about them.
Absolutely. Know? It's just with the flintlock, it seems like if you're hunting with like $1/2 size snowflakes, or if it's raining heavy, you know, it's very, very difficult to keep your powder, you know, your pan primer dry, because it itself is metal and very subject to condensation, but also very much not waterproof. And so any moisture from your hand or any moisture from the rain or any condensation, it's just, you're just in very bad shape. If the weather's bad, but people live for a long time relying on that for sustenance. And so if there's people that are listening to this that have that kind of experience, they're like, this is what you need to do to keep that dry. Let us know, because there's a good chance we're going to be doing some more flintlock hunting sometime in the near future.
Oh, for sure.
And really want to, you know,
make it happen.
Yes. We really want to like not have those same problems again. So
I'm going to mention something that I didn't write down here too, though, that kind of goes along with this. If you are just dreading getting out in the cold and you've got your heat cranked up to 1,000,000 degrees in your vehicle before you get out, you will have the same condensation problem.
Yep.
It's -10 outside or 0 or 30 degrees or whatever it is, and your gun is 100 degrees from being in the truck. The second you step out of the vehicle, that instant cold on the outside, it's going to cause condensation in the inside of the barrel.
Yes. Yes.
Don't do that.
So many things to think about.
Keep it at a moderate temperature in your vehicle.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Why don't you take this next one, Nate?
Let's see. Again, this is one I have not tried, but have heard tale of. So want to throw it out there. Again, if you guys have any comments on it, please let us know if you've tried it. I've heard of people cleaning their muzzleloader with rubbing alcohol. So it dries up all that moisture that's on it, you know, when you get home from hunting, and it's, again, it's 0 degrees outside, you come inside and it's hot, and that metal goes through that cold hot phase, you're running into the same problem where you're getting a lot of condensation. So I've heard of people cleaning their muzzle loaders with alcohol, rubbing alcohol, so obviously they, you know, knock out the bullet or shoot it out in the field before they come home, clean your muzzle loader from top to bottom, and then rub it down with rubbing alcohol inside and out to keep the moisture down for the next day. So
That's
interesting idea. I haven't tried it, but
absolutely. There's so many things that like, there's so many of these types of tips and tricks that it's like tough to try them all. Because you only have so many opportunities to go hunting, and usually you kind of default to whatever you're most comfortable with. Cause you're like, I know this thing, you know, it's kind of hard to step out and try something new. But I feel like a lot of these seem like they make a lot of sense, and I definitely should try them.
I usually just clean my muzzleloader with boiling water, and
yep, that works too. It
dries
off
so fast because it's already hot.
Yep,
and then you don't have any moisture on there.
Yeah, the boiling water method I feel like is underrated in some circles, because it's viewed as old school. But like, if you just buy, like, you know, our method is like you get some solvent, like Thor solvent, mm-hmm. or you know, whatever solvent you like to use. And you boil some water, put
water
some solvent
soluble.
In there.
You don't use an oil.
Yeah,
oil based.
Yes.
Oil yeah, and water. Don't mix. No. You didn't know that. Basic
not
science.
Water soluble. Yeah, just like the normal method you'd use with like a traditional muzzleloader, but you can use it on inlines too, and it works great.
Yeah.
It works very good.
And we also sell felt patches now that are incredible for that
yes.
same purpose. It
yes.
keeps a good seal for sucking the water up the barrel and back down.
Yep. Sometimes you run into, because there's different, even small differences in the barrel diameter. If you have like a loading or like a cleaning jag with different thicknesses of patches, sometimes they'll be thick enough to really good create a good seal. Sometimes we won't, but the felt patches we've had good results with. So,
mm-hmm. Just used them today.
Yes. The other thing I want to talk about, something that I'm kind of famous for having done many times around here.
This has never
here.
Happened to me.
You can't, say things like that because then it will happen.
I hope it does. I want to try your method.
So this is a method that was taught to me at a rendezvous when I dry balled at a rendezvous one time.
Oh, now he just cats out of the bag. We're talking about dry balling.
Yep, dry balling, yes. So gentleman taught this to me. His name's Louie, fantastic guy. Really good relationship with him. He's really big in the rendezvous scene over here. But basically, at my first rendezvous, I dry balled. And I was fooling around with like a bullet puller, which that method works, but
it's kind of a pain.
It's a huge pain. And you know, if you strip out the lead ball, then you're toast, yeah. right? Like there's nothing, it's not going to work anymore.
Break the bullet puller off.
There's a lot of things. I've done it all. And so the best and most effective method of it is to, and actually I just did this again at the last rendezvous I was at in September. Well, it was a stressful situation, all right? There was a lot going
on. Stay focused, Darren. Stay focused.
So I basically what you do is you take off the nipple. So you unthread your nipple, whether it's number 11 or musket cap or whatever it is. And keep in mind, if this is an inline, it's a lot simpler. You just take the breech plug out and shove it out. I've done that too. That's a lot easier. A lot easier to stomach. If it's traditional, it's a lot harder. So you take off the nipple. You put just a little bit of powder down through the I guess you call it the fire channel or mm-hmm. whatever
sure.
that from where the nipple goes in to where the powder would sit. You just pour a little bit of powder down there as much as you can without, you know, like
gumming up the threads.
Yeah. And then you put the nipple back on there and you it's not gonna give you a ton of force. You're not gonna be able, like, all right, I'm good to go hunting now. You know, it's not
gonna go about 10 feet.
It's not meant for that. But like basically it will get the ball and patch and everything back out of the barrel. And so like, if you're there and you're just like, your cap keeps going off and you're not getting any, you know, nothing's happening and you're like, I think I dry balled. You can try that method. And it has worked. It's worked for me every time.
100% of the time.
Yeah. I can't say it works 100% of the time, but I've dry balled a good number of times and it usually gets the job done. So, that one's pretty well known among the rendezvous scene, but for those of you that are maybe just getting started in traditional muzzle loading, that's a good tip to keep in mind. The other thing that I ran into a lot this season, this was kind of the theme of this season of as far as problems go for me, is
I feel like every year at the end of the season we have a podcast about the problems we had.
Yep, exactly. Well, that's all hunting is overcoming adversity.
That's right.
Like,
it's true.
You know, you have yeah. problems and you figure them out.
Yeah.
This year in particular was the year of if I don't think I need it, definitely bring it.
Yeah.
Because there were so many times I was like, you know, I don't, like, for instance, we just told the story about when we were deer hunting, you mm-hmm. know, and we ran, so we had wounded a deer, and you know, obviously it was mortally wounded, but you know, you want a quick and clean kill.
Yep.
But we had run out of powder, and I had, before I left, I had three extra powder charges and one empty tube, and I was like, I looked at the empty tube, I was like, and it was just so simple, it takes a couple seconds to fill it back up. I was like, I don't need it, so I just left it. And moved on with my life. But if we'd had that one extra tube filled up, yep. it would have been good to go. And the same thing happened during rifle season. And
if you think about it, just bring it.
If it pops into your mind, it's like, maybe I should do that thing real quick. Yep. You know, obviously within reason, but like, if you're like, oh, I should do that, just do it, because you know, you're good. The odds are you'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Like, maybe I'll bring my Tempur-Pedic mattress on this. No, I won't need it. Just bring it.
Maybe that's a little extreme, but I feel like, especially in the world of muzzle loading, there's so many supplies, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, one of the things I learned the lesson on that was a nipple pick. I didn't realize the importance of a nipple pick until, you know, the third or fourth time I didn't have one, I really needed one. I was like, I just need to have this with me everywhere I go. Yeah. You know?
Well, it's so funny that you mentioned that too, because I used to, like, I have, you've seen my bag at home, right? That I have, the little black bag.
Yeah.
That literally has
the Merce.
Yeah. That literally has everything in there that you could ever, like, possibly need while you're muzzleloader hunting. Mm-hmm. And I've accrued that over the years and haven't brought it with me in the last couple of years.
Yeah, because he's had me to rely on.
I'm just like, Darren, what do you got over there? Hey, what's in your pouch? You got an extra bullet? I need that.
Huh? It's like mooching off of like the stuff I bring.
If you got a bullet and you put it in the barrel and you shoot the deer.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there's just things you learn, what you need, what you don't need. But in general, especially when you're first getting started, if you think you need it, bring it. Because, you know, you never know, especially with muzzle loading. It's not as simple as center fire where it's like, I just need a few shells and, you know, my gun, I'm good to go. There's a lot more to it.
Well, it's funny that you say that too, because this year when I was hunting in Idaho, I literally put, the first day I went out, I put three rounds. I had the three rounds in my gun.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was just like, I don't miss.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And it's just a three round clip, flush, put that in there. The second day, I grabbed a whole box of ammo that I had hand loaded and tossed it in my pack.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to be that guy. Exactly. You know, that, and exactly. It only took me one shot, luckily.
Yeah.
But had I not had it, it probably would have taken me all three.
Yes. Yes.
But totally. Because I brought that ammo, that's what made the difference.
Yeah. It's sort of like, it's also like sort of a good thing where, like, if you're prepared, you're like fending off the need for it. Cause like, you know, I'm in paramedic school. We're doing IV starts. You always bring two IVs because if you bring only one, you're going to need the second one. But if you bring two, you'll get it on the first try.
I think a lot of that has to do with mental. Like, you're so nervous when you, I only brought these three rounds. I better make this shot count. And then inevitably you miss or do something stupid or wound it or hit it in the wrong place. And then you end up shooting all three shots while it's, or two other shots while it's running.
Yeah. Cause you're just,
cause you're like, oh, I need to get it down, you know?
Yeah.
But when you have all that ammo, it's like, I got a whole box of ammo. I'm just going to take my time in this first shot. No big deal.
Yes, exactly. So I think, honestly, I think that's pretty much all we had for
this one.
That was when we were talked about. Barrel covers over the... I know it's my chicken scratch, and you can't really understand it.
Barrel covers over the bed. I thought we put that up here.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
I just talked about that earlier on because it fit with where we were going.
Gotcha.
So, so I think that's pretty much it. If you guys have any tips or tricks you've learned in the school of hard knocks and muzzle loading, let us know in the comments below, because we and everybody else listening and watching on YouTube would love to learn from that.
Or if you just come up with something wild, like... Guys, try this. I've never tried it personally, but it sounds like a brilliant idea in my head. Let us know so we can try it. And then we'll let you know if it sucks or if it's awesome.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. We'd love to do that. So thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen today. Make sure if you're listening on the audio platforms, leave a review and share it with your friends. And if you're listening or if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to comment, like we said, like and subscribe, because we post content on a somewhat regular basis, couple times, you know, probably 3-4 times a month. So, and we will talk to you guys on the next episode.